Islam, who departed 15 years ago. Munir Muhammad, business manager of CROW, Coalition in the Remembrance of Elijah, an organization founded here in Chicago to remember a man who this group feels was, during his lifetime, much misunderstood and much maligned.
When you call for the separation of the Negro into a separate state, either in this United States or made possible by the United States, do you say that war between the whites and the blacks is inevitable?
Elijah Muhammad, controversial because of his frank assessments about race relations in America, pushed aside by the white media as a black supremacist and hater, Elijah Muhammad is credited by international leaders and black Muslims and other blacks with amassing a loyal following, many of whom have been cleaned up from lives of drugs, crime, and prison, one of whom was internationally renowned and known to the world after his transformation as Malcolm X. Before his death 25 years ago, Malcolm X was viewed as a fiery speaker for Elijah Muhammad. But more than a year before his death, Malcolm left the Nation of Islam to form his own group. But Malcolm was not the only student of Elijah Muhammad.
Cassius Clay is a name no more, is that right?
Yes, sir. It's Muhammad Ali. Muhammad means worthy of all praises, and Ali means most high in the Asian African language.
How long have you had the name?
Well, for about 2 weeks now.
Ali was taught by the Nation of Islam not to fight America's wars. He became internationally famous for boxing and for resisting entrance into an unpopular war in Vietnam. For his Muslim beliefs, Ali was stripped of his title and was banned from boxing.
Would you say that this is this moment? Is this the happiest moment of your life?
No, no.
Happiest moment of my life when I met Elijah Muhammad, the freedom seeker of black people.
If Ali held deep beliefs, other prominent African Americans are convinced of Muhammad's teachings. Dick Gregory, before a congressional subcommittee.
We black folk have had the answer. When you talk about drug treatment, let's don't overlook the late Elijah Muhammad that took the scum of the black community. They were hooked on all kinds of drugs, cigarettes, nicotine, caffeine, and when he gave them back to us, their bloodshot eyes was white as snow, their pockmarked faces were as smooth as velvet, and they didn't only want cocaine and heroin, they didn't want cigarettes, nicotine, or coffee. How did he do it? He did it by saying and say no to drugs, but immediately following that up by saying yes to God.
As you can see here, this is Muhammad Ali, and he's holding up message to the black man. Now, this is April of 1967, okay?
Muhammad of CROW, Coalition in the Remembrance of Elijah, is one of a number of people who in Chicago today are holding events in commemoration of the birthday anniversary of the Master Farad Muhammad. Today at 3, CROW is showing the film The Historical Documentary of the Nation of Islam. Munir Muhammad says Elijah Muhammad was misunderstood during his life, and today much more needs to be known, which is why they opened the library 4 years ago, the Coalition in the Remembrance of Elijah.
In fact, what he was teaching was self-love for one's own kind. He said the primary love that you should have is love for self first. And then if there's any more love left, then you can give it to someone else. Now, as you saw, Muhammad Ali, not only was his draft conviction overturned, which meant that his religion was upheld as Islam, and his teacher was Elijah Muhammad. So naturally, if they accepted Muhammad Ali's religion, then they had to accept Elijah Muhammad. As you know, he went to jail in 1942 for the same thing, you know, as far as not going to the army. So what I'm saying, Elijah Muhammad is so misunderstood, and when we try and give people an opportunity, that's what this library is for. So you can come here, sit down for yourself, no conversion. This is not a temple. This is not a mosque. This is a library where you come and do research, since we go to the public library, which you and I pay taxes to. But yet and still, we can't get any information on Elijah Muhammad. Yet and still, there are volumes of books that are written pertaining to his students. And I want to say this right now. We have no problem with people who love the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's students. But where we come into conflict with people is that they would begin to set these people up as if they taught Elijah Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad's teacher was Master Farad Muhammad. He saw him as God in person, and that was the end of that.
On the live line, Munir Muhammad, business manager of Crow, Coalition in the Remembrance of Elijah. Good morning and welcome to the program. Oops, I think we have you here.
Okay, good morning, Tony.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
Just fine, thank you. As we've just heard in the report, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad appeared to be overshadowed by Malcolm X, a student of Elijah Muhammad, but one who apparently was gifted with charisma and who, struck the public fancy?
Well, Tony, first of all, I just want to commend you on an excellent report, and I thank WVON for giving us this opportunity to shed some light on this. Malcolm, as you know, had great oratorical skills, and I think the people loved him for just his oratory for that particular time, because it was unheard of. But see, Elijah Muhammad had many Malcolms, but they were in different cities, and people just didn't know. As you heard in Eye on the Prize, Julian Bond told you that they began to focus on Malcolm as to draw dissension. They focused on Malcolm X and Martin Luther King together, even though Elijah Muhammad was the teacher, and many people just didn't go to the mosque to hear Elijah Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad was a fireball himself.
Let's tell us briefly now, who was Elijah Muhammad? How did he get to meet Fard Muhammad and become leader of the Nation of Islam?
Okay, that was in July 4th, 1930, as it was written in the book of Habakkuk, that that God would go forth for his people. And he would take one person from the dead who was like a mental dead, not a physical dead people. There's nobody coming back that we know of. And he was to take that person and teach him for 3 1/2 years. And the only person that we know that said they met with God in person was Elijah Muhammad. Now, whether other people agree with that or not, that was what he taught. And so the evidence was it that the man who taught him withdrew, and Elijah Muhammad stayed on that job all the days of his life. Mm-hmm. So whether you agree with that or not, this is what took place.
But this is a man who was born Elijah Poole,
yes.
Son of a sharecropper.
That's right.
And, of course, in 1945, as you indicated in the report, he turned down fighting the war, or actually probably earlier, on the basis of the fact that we have no territory to fight for. In fact, we were an enslaved, regardless of the Emancipation Proclamation, an enslaved people. In fact, in his books, he refers to the so-called American Negro as slaves.
Well, not only that, Tony, he was actually too old to go to the war. But what he was doing, he was teaching Islam, and it was during the time of World War II. And the European people felt that they should get Elijah Muhammad off the street because many black people were listening to him, and you couldn't have a war internally and one externally as well, and they needed the so-called American Negro to fight their war. So that was the purpose of that, but even though he would not have gone to the war anyway.
How old was he when he started what Master Farad promised him would be a difficult undertaking?
Well, I think he was 36, if I'm not 33, something along those lines.
A fairly young man.
Yeah, because he stayed on the job for 4 years, and he was 78 when, he left. And so, he had been doing that for about 44 years, so I would say about 34.
Now back to Malcolm and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Malcolm's words were what? Really the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's words, perhaps expressed differently? For example, I think Malcolm said, "Learn your history." And I'm not taking that out of context. I'm just using three of his famous words.
Well,
and I have a quote from Message to the Black Man.
Okay.
"The acquiring of knowledge for our children and ourselves must not be limited to the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. It should instead include the history of the black nation, the knowledge of civilization, of man, and the universe, and all the sciences." He said again, and I quote here, "It will make us a greater people of tomorrow."
Well, Tony, let us just examine briefly for a moment, since everyone tries to give Malcolm the credit for that. We know Malcolm's history. It was Elijah Muhammad who was his teacher. Prior to Malcolm meeting Elijah Muhammad, he certainly was not trying to unite his own kind. And as Dr. Eric C. Lincoln pointed out, it was the voice of Malcolm, but it was the philosophy of Elijah Muhammad. Malcolm had no philosophy predicated on the self-love and respect for black people prior to his meeting Elijah Muhammad. I think he was introduced to Islam by his family in 1947, his eldest brother, which was Wilfred. And it just disturbs me. I heard this brother, Peter Bailey, and a guy by the name of Mr. Turner on one of the talk shows who developed this commission on Malcolm, as to suggest that Malcolm believed more in the teachings of Elijah Muhammad than he did, you see?
Mm-hmm.
See, all of these people who talk about Malcolm, none of them were Muslims. I don't know of any followers that Malcolm had that were Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, when he left the Nation of Islam, there was only 50 followers that left with him. And that certainly couldn't show us any success. In fact, now let me just say this. I heard Sister Sonia Sanchez, and I want to make sure I make this explicitly clear. This sister implied that Malcolm was Muhammad Ali's teacher. Well, don't you think it's strange that if Malcolm taught Muhammad Ali so, well, why he didn't leave with Malcolm? Why didn't Louis Farrakhan leave with him? Why didn't all the great helpers throughout the country leave with Malcolm? No, see, well, here's what I say. The people who uphold Malcolm, they right. They should uphold him according to the criteria that they set for leadership. But we're talking about a divine solution, so we see Elijah Muhammad in that context. That God said, I will send you Elijah. Didn't say I will send you Malcolm.
You say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a great man, but you know, Mr. Muhammad, I get a completely different picture from non-Muslims in the media.
Mm-hmm.
For example, and this is just a little bit of a short diatribe. A member of CBS Television News once characterized black Muslims as a hate group. He was black. This person's name was Louis Lomax. In 1959, Lomax told his bosses at CBS, the black Muslims, and I'm quoting here, the black Muslims are black supremacists. He said, they are totally opposed to integration. They are a hate group. They hate white people. At that time, there were about 200,000 blacks, maybe more, in the ranks of black Muslims. One of the first television documentaries would be produced in New York by Channel 13. It ran as a series, The Hate That Hate Produced. That was the name of the series and documentary. Now, I'm sure that you're aware of it. You must know by now that it didn't take many white people to decide that this was a hate group. It certainly didn't make them comfortable if they didn't believe that. For many, they heard for themselves people calling them devils, and some of these people for the first time.
Well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't call them devils. The very book referred to them. If the characteristic fits you, then you wear it. In 1 Corinthians 10th chapter, 20th verse, and the 21st verse, also James, the 4th chapter, and the 4th verse. Remember, this is a theological teaching. And let me just say this. In 1962, Illinois State Senator Gastoff, I think his name was, he actually had attempted to close the University of Islam down, suggesting that we teach hate. See, black people don't know of Elijah Muhammad teaching hate. That was the slave master who suggested that. Because we talk about love, oneself, and kind first. How can I love someone else and I don't love my own people? You know, and also, Tony, during that climate, you have to understand that, they, as Mike Wallace told you, they were stunned. They didn't realize in 1959 that it was such a powerful group of people teaching. Elijah Muhammad spoke to 10,000 people at the U-Line Arena in Washington, D.C. He was given a presidential escort down Pennsylvania Avenue. The same people who had put him in jail 17 years earlier were now showing him respect and honor.
The Capitol Police?
Pardon me?
Capitol Police.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. So what I'm saying, see, Caucasian people know Elijah Muhammad. That's why. Now, listen, let me just show you this. You have volumes of books written on the students of Elijah Muhammad. Look at Muhammad Ali. All these guys, were they idiots? Are you telling me that they were so foolish? Well, you suggested I'm an idiot. I think I'm very intelligent. And if you can show me someone that can compare with Elijah Muhammad's teaching, then I'll follow them.
But, you know, I don't know if it's a complaint just yet. I'd like to hear more from you. I'm sure most people would.
Sure.
But this, quite frankly, was the beginning of public exposure to both the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Now, in the documentary, Malcolm was depicted as the chief New York minister. He was seen and heard saying the white man was the serpent in the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Later, the nation's other major white-owned media organizations ran to catch up. I'll name them for you. The New York Times, Time, Newsweek, mm-hmm. all ran to follow up on the hate broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Why did Malcolm X and not Elijah Muhammad early on strike their fancy?
Well, let me just tell you. See, it's one thing about this guy. I learned one thing about the Caucasian. He studied rats and roaches. So you know what he does for you and I. And I think what he saw, they knew Malcolm's background. And Malcolm was very articulate, and it was an attracting power. And many people, especially being in New York and Harlem, as you know, you can go to Harlem at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you see crowds of people. And they were black-oriented, okay? And it was like a galvanizing people rallying. And they, some things you're going to hear, Tony, that's going to make sense, and you begin to wake up. See, they know we're like a sleeping giant. That's what they refer to you as, okay? So what they had to do was find out how convicted was Malcolm. They used to study him. What was his weaknesses? What was his strength? So they played up on it. And you know, when you highlight or elevate one of us, it causes jealousy and enviousness. But as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said in one of his table talks, to be the messenger of Allah is the highest title you could have. Now, whether his followers, I mean people at large, believed it or not, he believed that he was chosen by God in person.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what the public doesn't understand. He believed it. Now, because you don't believe, that doesn't take away from his belief. So Malcolm, like Dr. Elijah Muhammad did March 11, 1965, in a letter to his ministers, he said, tell the people where you got this from. Say, you believe that I have met with God. You teach the people of me. I'll teach them of God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Malcolm had met with God. You see what I'm saying? So when you begin to play on people's weaknesses and strength, and you play them up, and you make them think they're actually the ones shooting the gun, and Malcolm began to think that. He even thought that his teacher was jealous of him.
Mm.
And when I hear so-called American Negroes suggesting that he's jealous of him for what? He produced it.
But, you know, in one account, Elijah Muhammad, Mr. Muneer, was described as remote and impassive, while Malcolm is getting all of the television play.
Sure, sure.
But what about black moderates like Roy Wilkins and others who really...
That's what you call a moderate?
Well, this is what the white media calls moderates.
Okay, moderate, okay? Yeah.
Apparently,
they so-called Negroes.
They tried to underplay both Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X, as you already know.
Mm-hmm.
But Malcolm became a celebrity. Eventually, according to some accounts, tempered his views. Some people believe this made Malcolm a more universal figure. But didn't the Honorable Elijah Muhammad also become more flexible?
No, that's not true. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad never spoke an idle word, Tony. Let me just say this to you, brother. And I appreciate these questions. They're wonderful questions. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had come to prominence in 1934. The 11th and State right here in 1935, I should say, there was a fight that ensued at the 11th and State. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was, they wanted to put his followers in jail for teaching their own children, you know, about the schools that we have. You know, he's always taught that we should educate our own. So don't believe that myth that they didn't know about Elijah Muhammad. It's your own kind
mm-hmm.
who didn't know and still don't know Elijah Muhammad. Because, you know what, Tony, it's like eating lamb. I'm used to eating lamb, and then you give me some bologna. You know, and I'm supposed to take that. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the ultimate teacher, and Caucasian people knew that, and they knew what they had to do was get rid of Elijah Muhammad quickly, but they knew they were promised they couldn't kill the last one. See, they saw Elijah Muhammad as divine. That's why when Cup them came to interview Elijah Muhammad, they came to his house.
Mm.
And we show interviews like that. You never heard them antagonizing with Elijah Muhammad, talking to him like they talk to some of the so-called Negroes today.
Mm.
And he didn't play that.
Sure. It's 10:23. We are live on the live line with my guest, Muneer Muhammad, business manager of CROW, Coalition in the Remembrance of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Today, members of the Nation of Islam begin celebration of Savior's Day. And as we focus on a man today, many people agree, changed many hearts and turned around many lives. The question has to be, why do so many people know so little about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Now, there was a split between Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X. We've already talked about that.
Right.
Some suggest it was because, as you already alluded to, but let's get specific here, because Elijah and others in the movement were jealous of Malcolm's celebrity status.
Okay, let me just address this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in April 27, 1962, police numbering over 100 burst into our temple. They shot and killed Ronald T.X. and wounded seven other innocent people, and one brother was paralyzed. In Louisiana, there was chaos. The same thing was happening. It was like a new surge on destroying the Muslim, you know. See, there were many people who misunderstood the Muslims, so they thought these people would fight back. See, the Muslims didn't turn the other cheek, okay? They fought with those who fought with them, but they carried no weapons, okay? Now, what Malcolm did, when John F. Kennedy died, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad directed his ministers in 30 different cities to not to say anything in reference to John F. Kennedy. That was an order given. Elijah Muhammad was the leader, and you serve at the leader's discretion. So if his national spokesman decides to speak independent, and even though it was the truth about the chickens that come home to roost, but he was ordered not to speak on that. So as a punishment, he was suspended for 90 days. But that was not the beginning of Malcolm's demise. I mean, it had already started. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad knew that Malcolm would not be able to adhere to the suspension because people like Ozzie Davis, and I use these people sparingly, they always were fascinated with Malcolm, but long as he was not in the temple. You see what I'm saying? Because they didn't want to make the transition. See, the Nation of Islam has strict rules and regulations.
Mm.
That meant if you smoked and drank and you ate pork and different things, so it separated you. As I heard the brother Turner with the PhD say, well, Malcolm had something for everybody.
True, the people are fascinated by Jesus, and of course they are not necessarily Christians.
Sure.
Sure.
But even their very Bible that would suggest to you that you not go near the swine, but our people say, well, a little pork won't hurt you. And in the New Testament, it's been revived. So what I'm saying is that Elijah Muhammad had rules and regulations in the Nation of Islam. If you didn't want to follow him, then you caught up with your crowd.
And so this is why they followed Malcolm X?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this very quickly, because I do...
They didn't follow him, brother. They gave him lip service. You don't see them following him now.
Mr. Meehan, in my conversations with you, I'm to understand people really know very little about Malcolm X.
That's right.
That, in your words, just only a moment ago, he was really sold to the public after his death, February 21st, 1965, in Harlem.
Right. See, let me say this. If you saw the funeral that they gave, the Muslim followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad were nowhere to be seen. As I told you, only 50 of them left the mosque. Now, everybody that I hear talk about Malcolm, they don't know what he taught. They have no idea what he taught. He didn't know what he taught. In fact, Peter Bailey said in his new book, the book that he was writing about Malcolm, that Malcolm, he heard about the Organization of African Unity was being formed in that January. So Malcolm left the Nation officially March 8th. So he loaned his name to it, just like the Mosque Incorporated. See, a Muslim wants for his brother what he wants for himself. Malcolm told them to go home, put their religion under the bed or in the closet. You know, you believe that Allah is God, then you function like that. In the 437 verses, that those who believe then disbelieve, again believe and again disbelieve, surely Allah would never forgive them nor guide them in the right way. Peter Bailey and them is not the judge of Malcolm. We have a real God. And if Malcolm believed and didn't believe in Elijah Muhammad, what was he doing with that name Shabazz? Shabazz is not an Arab name. That's the lost tribe of Shabazz. Only the inner circle of the Nation of Islam is familiar with that name. So what I'm saying, the X that Malcolm got, he didn't give it to himself.
Let me ask you this very quickly, because we do want to move on and quickly here, because we've got a lot of ground to cover and people on the phones. Do people still think Elijah Muhammad had Malcolm X killed? After all, Robert Morgenthau, who at the time was the Manhattan District Attorney, found no compelling evidence to believe anyone but Norman Butler, one other person, and Thomas Johnson gunned Malcolm down.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of the people say they believe it in public. But in private, brother, let me say, even some of the people in Malcolm X, as they call themselves, that I've had conversations with, brother, believe me, they know better. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad knew. See, I just told you what the God promised you. Said when you leave God and his messenger, he give you a devil for a companion and lead you step by step to destruction from whence you know not. And that's apparent. See, what I'm saying, he left Malcolm alone. Malcolm was miserable, brother, when he left the Nation of Islam.
Well, Malcolm said some things to Alex Haley and other people, even said some in public about Elijah Muhammad. It makes people believe, perhaps even to this day, that Elijah Muhammad was somehow behind Malcolm's death. I think, first of all, I think many of us already know what was said. We've heard this before.
Okay.
And Malcolm told a few people that the Muslims were out to kill him because he knew too much about Elijah. Malcolm, and I'm quoting here, said, Elijah is not the man he is cracked up to be. His morals aren't what he would have you to believe. He has weaknesses of the flesh that disillusion me. And this is, again, what he said about Elijah Muhammad. Malcolm went on to further characterize Elijah Muhammad as a lecher, characterized him as a womanizer who fathered a number of children out of wedlock. Others, including Alex Haley, and don't forget Alex Haley, he was the person who wrote the autobiography, and this is after the autobiography was long completed, but he told Alex Haley after a bombing of his home in which there were no real serious injuries, Malcolm telephoned him. He said he was so distraught he couldn't recognize the person on the phone. Apparently, Haley didn't realize that it was Malcolm on the phone, that this was the same man of whom he wrote an autobiography. So what do you think was going on?
Well, you know, I'm just glad you covered so much, and I want to address them all, because the domestic life of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad certainly comes up. Now, I just told you the criteria in which the Honorable Elijah Muhammad operated from, theologically and scripturally. In the 33rd surah in the 40th verse, which Malcolm was very much familiar with, it said, Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, but he's the messenger of Allah. Now, all those wives that he suggests and those children, you know, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had, okay, I never heard them complaining about this. I never heard, see, a Muslim is judged by the Holy Quran, and even in his own book, the Bible. That's like David and Absalom. his son felt that he was better than David was. I mean, Abraham and Sarah and Hagar, you know. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the 40th chapter of Psalms in the 7th and 8th verse, it said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book, I delight to do thy will." Meaning he would touch and kiss all those scriptural stories that you hear about in the Bible. Now, I'm saying, Tony, I don't care personally whether people believe that or not. I can only operate on my understanding and knowledge. But I know this, that for them to allude to the fact that Malcolm's morals were so upright that he could castigate his teacher, on an interview that you heard when Lynn O'Connor asked him did he believe Muhammad was on the speaking terms with God.
Then he said he did.
He did. He quoted it twice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all I'm saying, well, let me just say this. He's familiar that more than one wife is not the rule. It's an exception. You see, I'm not saying one way or the other. I don't know of those children that everybody talk about. But I tell you this, to imply that that man was a womanizer who was the messenger of Allah, I'm saying it's totally ludicrous, in my opinion. I mean, women gravitate towards strength. But Elijah Muhammad was more than a husband and a teacher. This man was the messenger of Allah. Now, if Malcolm didn't believe that, all he had to do was do like he did, that was left, and then go and deal with Ozzie Davis and Ruby Dee and the rest of those so-called American Negroes who promote him and ain't going to follow him nowhere.
Mm-hmm. 1032, my guest is Munir Muhammad of Crow, Coalition in the Remembrance of Elijah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And, of course, we'll take more of your calls. Actually, we'll take your calls for the first time, but first we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Muhammad of Crow, Coalition in the Remembrance of Elijah, a library started to remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad here in Chicago. At 10:35, we go to the phones. Let's talk to Brenda. Brenda, you're on WVON.
Hi, Tony.
Hi.
How are you doing?
It's fine.
Look, one of the things that concerns me about these people in Chicago who purport Elijah Muhammad to be divine, which is really a question unto itself, is that they seem to want to rewrite history and discount the words of Malcolm X himself. In this last book by Bruce Perry, Malcolm X, The Last Speeches, Malcolm X says, not only is Elijah Muhammad not divine, he says that Elijah Muhammad seduced 9 teenage girls and seduced them, had them to have children by them. And his word says, you could do it if you admitted it, you did it, and that the babies are yours, I'd shake your hand and say you were a good man. A good one, too. Anytime you seduce teenage girls and make them be child with adultery, make them hide your crimes, why you're not even a man, much less a divine man. And he goes on and talks about Elijah Muhammad's moral decay within the mosque. Now, what interests me generally about situations like this is that people always say, we're not supposed to look at this.
Who said that?
I mean, people say, I heard you say earlier about him having wives. These teenage girls were not wives. 9 teenage girls were suing him.
Where were they suing him at?
In Chicago.
Where
have you read this book?
Have I read whose book?
Malcolm X, The Last Speeches. It was just published in 1989. These are Malcolm X's public speeches.
But where are the evidence of the suit set?
My point is...
The point is
that Malcolm X's words speak for themselves, and you cannot discount his words and say he didn't know what he was talking about.
Well, Brenda, I think what Munir Muhammad would like to know is...
Where are the lawsuits?
The lawsuits.
Okay,
which courts were they filed in?
Pardon me?
You know what the next paragraph says?
What?
Not 2 of them who are suing them, but 9. And the FBI knows it. The law in Chicago knows it. The press even knows it. And
what are they, though? Brenda, what suits are they?
They're talking about...
filed in which court? Circuit court? Cook County court? Federal court?
And he says... He goes on to talk about why they won't expose him.
See,
why they're afraid to expose
him. Why won't they expose
him? I could go into a long dissertation here, but this is on page 122. He says the black Muslim movement, it was organized in such a way that it attracted the most militant, the most uncompromising, the most fearless.
Like Malcolm.
And the youngest and the black people in the United States.
You mean like Malcolm?
Went into it, those who didn't mind dying. They didn't mind making a sacrifice.
Oh, okay.
All they were interested in was freedom and justice and equality. And they would do anything you're talking over me.
He
said they believe that if they went after this man, the people who followed him were willing to die, just, like people in a jihad,
sure.
And that they would have mass war on their hands. They were willing to turn their heads to this kind of behavior because that was only expected.
Okay, we understand what Bruce Perry thinks in brief.
No, Bruce Perry. These are Malcolm's words.
We understand, I think, what Bruce Perry is trying to say. Unfortunately, we can't carry on a dialogue with two people talking. So, Brenda, you're excused. Brenda, by the way, asked me to read the Bruce Perry book, and I'm only too happy to oblige.
Okay.
But I can't keep a conversation going. We have other callers.
All right, let me make one statement first. Malcolm X, born in Omaha, Nebraska, May 19, 1925, dropped out of school at 15, went to jail for burglary at age 21, introduced to Islam by his family in 1947. He was in jail for burglary, and it was evidence pimping, robbing, among other things. So Miss Varner just wanted me to believe the validity of a man who was out of a job when he was suspended. He was humiliated and embarrassed. Now, I'm saying, if all of this has come up, I heard Dr. Times and other people say the same thing about Elijah Muhammad. They all talk about it. But when you bring up that Negro preacher that she served, then she cries and moans. Elijah Muhammad was loved by black people. If Malcolm was so profound, there would have been Muslims who would have followed it.
Let me just, out of fairness to Brenda, we had to let her go because I can't carry on the conversation.
Okay.
I ask people to elucidate, please, you know, and Brenda is a good friend of mine, mm-hmm. and I hate to do that, but, you know, you're gone.
Yeah.
The thing is that she brought up, and it's a legitimate point.
If
we're talking about someone who's teaching theology, is whether or not they are moral, and it seems to me that there have been a number of allegations about this behavior by Elijah Muhammad. So the question obviously has to be, and I think you just gave it in part of your answer, is just how much of this weigh in the Muslim community?
And not only that, how much of the credibility of the source? Now, I also told, in the way you judge Elijah Muhammad, you judge him by the standards of Muslims.
But, okay, on the Christian side, though, people have trouble with men who are adulterers and alleged adulterers in this case, and people who have questioned moral standards. And in this case, this is where the charges become legitimate, but... Don't these allegations continue to haunt and dog the Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
But Tony, you know what they do? They dog people like the lady who just finished talking, who's not going to do anything in reference to... See, this sister, she has a hatred for Muslims, and thank God that she does. You know, see, when I hear this, it just makes me feel real well because I know that apparently we're being affected.
I really don't believe that Brenda has a hatred for Muslims.
You're entitled to your belief, though.
But
I know she does.
Yeah, well, she basically, I think, the books were brought to her attention in research and from friends, I think, who happen to have been Muslims, who wanted, or so-called Muslims in your view, who wanted to bring these charges to her attention. If, of course, you're right. Right. Then, of course, the general point should be made that, some people are just going to be making these charges out of hatred for Muslims?
Of course they are, but let me make this statement. The eldest brother of Malcolm X, Wilfred, I think he would have been in a better position to know his own blood brother. Brenda Varner, like all the other so-called Negroes, read about Malcolm, what they heard someone else say. How is Alex Haley is going to have any credibility? This is the guy who was Toby had his toe cut off because he wanted to be named Kunta Kinte. This guy had told the people after he commercialized and made money off him that he was going to build some kingdom for him over there in Kunjufu or wherever it was.
Mm.
I mean, these so-called American Negroes saw Malcolm from a distance. Malcolm had no respect for those guys. Because he knew they were leeches and bloodsuckers like they are now to commercialize off him on his death.
Let me take these calls.
Please.
10:43, we're on the line with Laura. You're on WVON.
Yes, and Tony, you've been speaking about 10 minutes as far as Brenda Verner's call. I hope you'll give me the courtesy of letting me speak, but I don't think I'll need 10 minutes, okay? I initially called not to waste my time discussing Malcolm because I feel just like Brother Munir and any true believer. That's why Allah let him say what he said. Whosoever will, let him come. However, I think because I know, since you all worship Malcolm, I'm going to remind you of something he often said. Those who know are not saying. Okay, in other words, those who are doing all the talking don't really know.
Right.
And those who do know are not saying. I'm one of those who knows. And because of the fact that I have sit around and waited for Minister Farrakhan to put it into perspective, as well as older children of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to put it in perspective, and they have not. I will address, if I can remember, each issue that I heard that Munir may not have had personal knowledge of. Number one, Tony, you mentioned the book, and you made it seem like Malcolm alluded to the fact that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was behind having him killed. If you read in that same book, I believe that's where it is. It could have been in C. Eric Lincoln's book. I'm not sure which one. But Malcolm himself said towards the end of his life that there was someone bigger than the Muslims after him. Okay?
Let me correct. I did not allude to any such thing. I'm just letting you know what Malcolm told.
No, but I'm telling you that's what Malcolm said towards the end of his life.
I'm aware of
that. You know what I'm saying? Now, point number two. Malcolm was trying to get back into the Nation of Islam. Some of his closest associates, not any of these people that are writing about him, people who were with him in his organization knew this because a couple of them have told me when I let them know I knew that he was trying to get back in. Most of the Muslims are not aware of that. Mm-hmm. He had sent the Honorable Elijah Muhammad a tape. Shortly thereafter, he was assassinated. Now, it doesn't even make logical sense. Why would the Honorable Elijah Muhammad want to have him killed when he was trying to get back to him? Because, see, that would have shown clear victory. Okay? Now, these things, I can get the people and get a document, and I will tell you this. The Black Caucus attempted to have his trial reopened of these Muslim brothers who were accused of assassinating him. Now, let me tell you something else that is in the court record. The man who shot Malcolm told the judge and the jury that those two Muslim brothers had nothing to do with it. He did it. And the judge ordered the jury to strike those remarks and not to use it in their judgment of the case.
That's interesting.
Okay, well,
that's
this is what I'm trying to tell you. See, and like I said, the Black Caucus in Washington, D.C. 10 years ago tried to get it reopened. They could not get it reopened. Why? Because of the ramifications. Let me tell you something else that you may not be aware of. And a Jewish attorney at a prominent law firm in New York told me this. They were trying to use me to get Farrakhan put in jail. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I told him point blank, let me tell you one thing. Number one, Malcolm was sent into the Nation of Islam to undermine the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and take it over. That's the reason why the government is pushing him now that he's dead. Okay? You know what that Jewish lawyer told me? Everybody knows that. So that lets me know, most of them know it, because I know the average Black person is not aware of that. Okay? Now, I could go on and on and on, but I really don't want to waste time. But I'll tell you another important key. You read from a book, I think, about the nine. First of all, they weren't teenage girls. They were women. Now, let me tell you what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. This is why I don't like to waste my time even, discussing it. Not because I fear the discussion. I know that Allah doesn't care. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said at his dinner table, with at least 15 or 20 people sitting there, that over 90% of his followers were going to lose their salvation over the wives of Muhammad. Now, let me explain that. He said Malcolm fell because Malcolm did not know scripture. Okay? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught you that he was not a prophet. He said, I call myself the messenger, but I am the fulfiller of all the prophets. Everything you see written in that book is written of me, and I am fulfilling it. That meant he had everything in his family that David had. Okay? Now, I don't know if you read the Bible, Tony, but you know every prophet in the Bible that married had more than one wife. Now, the nine women that you're talking about corresponds with the nine wives that Prophet Muhammad
had.
That's right. It's just that simple.
That's right.
And see, I could go on and on and on, but I do not want to belabor the time.
Lord, let me thank you for the call. We just have to move on.
Thank you.
Okay, we didn't let you have the 10 minutes.
I'm Tony.
Thank you, Laura.
I'd like to thank Sister for that, and I'd like to make a comment. And also, like she said, the criteria for a Muslim is the Holy Quran. Now, the ninth surah in the 84th verse, which is the section on the hypocrites, it said, and never offer prayer for any one of them who dies, nor stand by his grave. Surely they disbelieve in Allah and his messenger, and they died in transgression. As I said, you can say all fairness to Miss Varner and others. Malcolm's blood brother, his own sister, if both of them, stated that they knew the Nation of Islam had nothing to do with that. It was much bigger than that. So what I'm saying, I'm just happy that these so-called American Negroes got somebody that they want to cheer. And if they want to cheer Malcolm, that's fine. But I'm saying the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in my humblest opinion, was the messenger. Mm. So all we're saying is we have things on film. So like this sister is boasting about she reading books, but I've never seen her come over here to try to investigate. We've been talking about this for years because they don't want to know. I can show her leader and teacher on the tube here saying Elijah Muhammad was the greatest black man that ever lived when they were Negroes color. She know who her leader is, who she loved, the country preacher, who said that prophets give all they got and politicians take all they can. I can let her come over and listen to that quote and see it on video if she wants to do it. So what I'm saying, Tony, what bothers us, if people would get on and talk with some knowledge, it would be okay. But they talk from these emotional outbursts, ain't going to follow nobody, not going to do nothing but sit down and pray and look up in the sky and hope something come out of the sky other than rain, snow, and hail.
10:50, my guest is Munir Muhammad. I'm going to be cutting you off short, I can tell.
Okay.
Because we do have to move on. Let's talk to Muhammad. You're on WVOA.
Yes, sir. Peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam. I'm very happy you called, brother.
Yes, sir, brother. I'm very glad to call, too.
Yeah.
All the sisters, all the people are mentioned about the wives, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Why don't they, I would like for Brother John Dale, that's who it is, you have a Holy Quran, read it, and see how many wives you do. Now, you more than one wife. See, that's why I told you the other day I would give you a book. Read the book, and you see how many wives did Elijah have. But now, as far as this, I'm like the sister say, I was in New York, living on 116th Street, and the Marshall was on 117th Street in Leonard. I remember when Minister Lewis was teaching all. I remember when me and them both were shooting dope. I've been in here 47 years. The people supposed to kill Brother Malcolm, they done 20 years and come to find out they didn't do it. Jager Hoover and Governor Rockefeller passed a law in the state of Illinois that would be no more electric chair. That's when they was to kill Brother Malcolm. That's what it done. And Malcolm never had it against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He know it better than that. They say, I hear him reading by the Holy... Honorable Elijah Muhammad went to the Holy City of Mecca before Malcolm ever went there.
And let me say this to you, brother.
Yes.
I'm glad that you recognize who your leading teacher was once again. I hear you call, and I want the Honorable Elijah Muhammad put in his proper perspective. You're right. And not only that, Tony, they talk about Malcolm on an international scope. He went to the Holy City after the split of Elijah Muhammad, but you don't see those ams honoring him, do you? I mean, every year you see...
Maybe you should delineate for people who may not be initiated about the differences.
Okay.
Malcolm tried to go into an Orthodox religion.
That's right. He tried to go over and talk against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and it was rejected. And to show you that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad... See, look, when Malcolm left in 1965, the nation flourished constantly. So I'm saying that should tell people something. And look at where was the loyalty. Who was the ones that was conducting the funeral? Who were the people that was there? See, like the sister said, she right. We will die for freedom, justice, and equality. We do love the honor.
General insurrections in the United States within 10 years, and he was absolutely on the money. He even prepared his people to be disciplined, not destructive. And if this is the case, does it present, in your view, as you argue, I'm sure, that perhaps Elijah was not trying to stir up trouble but to change people's thinking?
Elijah Muhammad loved us. He loved black people more than life. He gave his life for that. Every day of his life, he stayed on the job every day. That's why, see, Tony, like you said, his sister doesn't hate Elijah Muhammad. I feel sorry for some of these people. They love European people more than their own kind. Elijah Muhammad has done nothing but good for his people, by example. I mean, I'm saying everything that he geared up was for the love of us, and it hurts me. But I don't worry as much as I used to about so-called American Negroes like that lady. Because I thank Almighty God that there are people who come into their senses saying, well, whether we agree with you or not, let us look for ourselves, to see things on film, to hear them. And you saw Eye on the Prize. They did a 2-minute plug on Elijah Muhammad, and here's the man that produced all these people. Louis Farrakhan, in my opinion, is a super brother in the way that he's handled as far as his oratory and representation of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I mean, but look, if Louis Farrakhan know who's shooting the gun, I mean, just like Malcolm and all the rest of them knew.
Let's go back to the phones immediately. 10:54, Nimbwaji, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right.
Nimbwaji?
Yes, I was almost close.
Yeah, it's pretty close. Yeah, I like to say that that people keep saying that, want to know, did Elijah Muhammad have Malcolm X killed? And if people would read some of the books that have been written about the FBI involvement,
yes,
and the COINTELPRO program, and read the description of how Malcolm X was assassinated, how sophisticated it was,
yes,
how it was a setup, how members of the police department,
right,
were manipulated, Elijah Muhammad does not control the police department.
That's right.
So, no matter, it doesn't even matter if Elijah Muhammad wanted Malcolm X killed or not. It would have been totally impossible for him to put about that type of setup.
Right.
So I think people need to even quit thinking about that. But anyway, I've been listening to the conversation, and I have problems with the spirit.
Okay.
Of this, see, I want to understand Malcolm. I want to understand Elijah Muhammad, because I want to know what mistakes we've made in the past so we can move forward.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn lessons. I don't think it should be a matter of pitting Elijah Muhammad against Malcolm X and vice versa, because if anything, to me, they complement each other. So I don't think that this conversation has been in the right spirit. You know, I think both men were great, and I think that it shouldn't be a matter of just pitting, you know, one against the other.
Well, let me say this, sister.
Well, let me just curtail that. Does it have to be that one has to be pitted against the other? People are very emotional about it.
See, you know, but the people, see, I understand what the sister said, and I thought we had moved past that, Tony. In my personal opinion, the reason it upsets me, because the way that people talk about it, I've seen them on national TV every year. They do the same thing, like they love Malcolm. Malcolm was a Muslim. If he was a Muslim, in order to understand him, then you would understand him from what he believed. You see? And the people who talk about it, they don't believe anything. If you close your eyes, if you look up in the sky, ain't nothing up there after 6 miles. And about 90% of the whole world believe that God is a spirit. Elijah Muhammad taught that he was a man. And Malcolm concurred with that. So what I'm saying, that Tony, if we're going to discuss this, then we should discuss it from the position of strength. You came and you did research. All the information that you've accumulated. You heard Dick Gregory. Dick Gregory is not a Muslim. You heard Muhammad Ali. I mean, I heard people say they would follow Muhammad Ali around the world. Same thing with Malcolm. You had these quotes that these people said. So what I'm trying to say, stop arguing about something until you get the truth of what you're arguing about.
So people generally are making comments
just,
without understanding.
Look, it's a fad, Tony.
Sure. Let me go immediately to the phones. Let's talk to Saul.
Yeah, you know, hey, how you doing, Nija? You know, they talk about Malcolm X and Muhammad and stuff. I mean, you know, the white people, you listen to you, and they just laugh at you.
Of course.
You talk about these guys are your heroes and stuff. One of the guys had too many wives. The other guy was put in jail for stealing cars and robbing liquor stores. I mean, come on.
Saul, let me ask you,
a
question.
Why do you think there's so much racism in this country?
Saul. Listen to yourself, Saul. Saul, what about the Kennedys of Massachusetts? You guys give a full 4 days to the Kennedys of Massachusetts. You have people write to... Well, see, Saul, you are making believe as though the African-American community is a monolith, just like the white community is not a monolith. The African-American community isn't a monolith. Saul, just listen to you. You talk too much.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, is Saul still there?
Saul is somewhere else.
Saul,
I don't know where Saul is.
Saul know that the 6,000 years is up. That's Saul's problem. And as it was written, you know, and the people are going to come to know, Tony, whether we solve it today or tomorrow, and I'm saying I certainly didn't want to be emotional and angry, and I say this to the dear sister. I pray that God bless all of us with the light of understanding, but I'll leave her with this. In the 9th through 8th verse, it says, ask forgiveness for them or ask forgiveness for them not. Even though if you ask forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah will not forgive them. This is because they disbelieve in Allah and his messenger, and Allah guides not the transgressing people. See, we believe in this book, and we believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the last messenger, those of us who follow it. You know, now that's what we believe. Now, if she doesn't believe that, we understand, but also she can read in Isaiah, the 4th chapter, in the 1st verse, she better be careful because it talks about 7 wives in that, and that's the Bible.
Let's try to hold you on for a few minutes past news time.
Of course,
because
I'm delighted.
Lots more people, and of course we'll ask Mandrake to call us a bit later.
Yeah.
But see, here's the thing, you know, that people are being described as devils. We find out when a community's in trouble that they're laughing at you, mm-hmm. and this is wonder, you know, then they wonder why they're being called devils. Well,
did they laugh at Jesus?
We'll find out on the other side of Mutual News.
Okay.
It's 11 o'clock.
Thank you.
This fine Saturday morning, 24th day of February, 1990. Today, the eve of Savior's Day, we have with us Munir Muhammad of CROW, Coalition in the Remembrance of Elijah, an organization founded here in Chicago to remember a man who this group believes felt is much misunderstood and much maligned. I've been saying that all along, and apparently the phone calls reflect exactly that. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Clarence. Clarence, you're on WVON.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Munir.
Wa alaykum
salam. I would just like to say very quickly that a few things that people should look at when they think of this controversy, they should look at that out of all the people that they found of renown, no one man, no one leader has produced three giants like this man, Elijah Muhammad, produced.
That's right.
Malcolm X, Louis Farrakhan, Muhammad Ali, whether you agree with them or not.
That's right.
Including his son, Warf D. Muhammad, who's one another way. But what you should look at in this aspect is that when these people followed Elijah Muhammad, they were at their best.
That's
when
right.
they went against them, all of them had went down, including Minister Farrakhan has admitted that when he followed Warf D. Muhammad in his new direction, that he found himself going on a decline. And also, it should be kept in mind, when Malcolm went to France, he was banned from speaking there, and when he went to Cairo, Africa, he was food poisoned. I think the Christians would find a hard time living during the days of David and Solomon and them. I wonder what they talk against David the way they talk against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I think it's a lot of things we just look at hypocritically, and we should take another look at. A lot of these brothers that follow, call themselves following Malcolm, like Stokely and H-Rap, why they can't get their program off the ground today? Why come Hakeem Anabuchi, all these guys that claim from the national side to take Malcolm's side against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, why their program is not on the national scene and they not having the results that Malcolm had? And thank you very much.
Hello?
Yeah, he just thanked you very much. He made a statement, and Clarence, we thank you for the call. Let's talk to Franklin. You're on WVON.
Hello.
Hi.
I have two questions. I've been to the Mass Mariana, and I enjoy Farrakhan when he speaks. But some things, you know, everybody doesn't agree with everything everybody said. And I'm not trying to put Farrakhan in any kind of category. But some things I have heard him say.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Would you repeat that, please?
I said I have been to the Church of Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
And I know everybody doesn't agree with the system of the United States. Mm-hmm. Some things I don't agree with. And, you know, the style of how the government sometimes is run. But my question is, you know, I heard the man that runs the program say some things about what Farrakhan said about the white people calling them devils. And I have heard Farrakhan say this also. But being a minister myself, I have some kind of, some drawback. And I was thinking, I said, if I had the opportunity to pastor a church such as he does, and when whoever, just like the Bible said, whoever will, let them come. Mm-hmm. And if I find that in my audience, I have whites, blacks, Chinese, Filipinos, which God has no respect of person. He loves us all as much as the same measures. But I would look at this like this. If you were willing to come unto me to hear me, my speech has to be without a respect of person. I cannot say to the white man, you sit here, and to the black man, you sit over there. But I'll say to the white and to black and all races.
Okay, let me say this, though, dear.
As God, wait a minute now. You had your say. Let me talk, okay? As God would say unto me, if I be his children, and which all of us are his children, I would not want God to say to me, you black devil, or you white devil, or you this. But I would want God to say to me, because he is the father of us all, to say, I love you white man, and I love you black man, I love you Chinese or Filipinos, or whoever you, whatever color you is. It doesn't make no difference. If I had a white child or a black child, I would love them all the same. You understand what I'm saying? But Farrakhan, and another thing I noticed, that everybody says that the Elijah Muhammad was the last, was coming to set up everything in order. But I find it kind of hard to believe because he's dead. And the changes that have been going on in the nation now, Elijah Muhammad has been dead. And he has not changed nations from evil.
You know,
you get what I mean, you understand what I'm saying, right?
I get everything that you said.
Another comment I'd like to make. I'm married. And I got a husband.
Okay.
And if my husband go out and marry another woman, while I know it, he's going to jail. He's committed bigamy. And if he fathered more children besides my children, I would be awfully mad. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I cannot justify.
I'm not going to justify one man's deeds because of what happened a long time ago. Solomon had a lot of concubines, and David had so many. But God didn't even allow David to have more than one wife.
Let me thank you, Franklin, for the call. She brings up a number of important
but you know,
issues.
I listened to the sister, and she went on to say about she has Philippines and whites and different people. See, that's our problem with this rainbow, this illusion. Now, in her own Bible, did God say that if you sit down with the devil, you can't sit down with God? It's a separation, Tony, that has to take place. Now, in Revelation's 12th chapter, I think 9th verse, it refers to a people with the characteristics of a beast. Now, all we do, when Jesus even referred to a people, John 8th chapter 32nd through the 44th verse, says, if God was your father, you would love me. Yeah, your father, the devil, and the work of your father you would do.
But I've heard from a number of people who study these things from the Comedic Institute and from religious perspectives, let's say theology perspectives, not religious perspectives, where they are constantly reminded that Jesus himself was a separatist. In fact, he refused to talk to a Samaritan woman and said, "The woman, it is not meet for me to cast bread before the dogs." And in fact, told the young children, or the young children, the children of Israel, that they were supposed to have separated themselves, etc. Yeah, I suppose I can understand what she says. Maybe it's an ideal thing to have a rainbow, but even in the Christian Bible, you really don't see that.
And you know, even two brothers, boundaries were set up for them, and their two brothers couldn't live together. See, we have this wonderful illusion that all people are the same. Because a fish has red blood, does that make him your cousin? No. See, we have to begin to realize that when it said, let us make man, it was talking about a particular man. Now, those of you who believe that European people have been on the planet longer than 6,000 years, show us the evidence of it. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has been clear. He said that people have had this mystery thinking of God, you see, and he come to bring you face to face with the reality of God. Now, what we're saying, Tony, we know that's difficult for you to believe if you've been programmed. See, the computer can only do what it's been programmed to do. And you've been programmed to have a blonde hair, blue-eyed person hanging up on your wall and refer to him as Jesus or God in person. And the thing is that you have to begin to wake up and realize that the earth loses nothing. Everything comes from the earth and it's going back to the earth. And so all I'm saying that these people who refer to scripture, they want to take bits and pieces of it. That's fine. And all I'm saying, just judge Elijah Muhammad by the way you judge the people of the book. And that's who he say he was. If the shoe doesn't fit him, then that's fine.
11:14, we're talking with Munir Muhammad, business manager of Crow, which today, along with the Nation of Islam, is observing Savior's Day. I have a question, and again, it brings me back to the point that we raised earlier, that maybe some people really believe that Elijah was not trying to stir up trouble, but to change and challenge conventional wisdom. For example, Elijah told his followers to go for self, and I quote here from the message to the black man, "The poor slave, after his masters let him go free, his first problem to solve was securing a home of his own for the first time. He must now do for self. Master is no longer responsible for him. He must solve his own problems." Now, he probably taught this, 30 years earlier. Of course, it was published in 1965, 25 years later. Unless I'm mistaken, today it sounds to me like some people still don't get that.
All right, let me say this. This is a famous quote in the House of Delegates in Virginia, a European by the name of Henry Barry. He was saying why in 1832, in describing the situation as it existed that time in the South, he said that we have as far as possible closed every avenue by which light may enter the slave's mind. The avenue of the light of Allah you are unable to shut out. They say if we could extinguish the capacity to see the light, our work would be complete. They would then be on a level with the beast of the field, and we should be safe. I am not certain that we would not do it if we could find out the process, and that on the plea of necessity. Now, the point being is that we hate to come to grips in our history that we have been reduced to subhuman condition. That was their job. In the 15th chapter and 13th verse of Genesis, you were promised that you would sojourn in a strange land of not your own. You would serve a people for 400 years. But the very people that you this is what the callers have to get in touch with. We're not doing the talking here. Elijah Muhammad said he fulfilled this scripture. He saw us as a people like dry bones in a valley. You know what that means, brother. Nobody comes back once they dead. They had a saying, son, once you're dead, you're done. So I'm saying to you respectfully, beloved, even if you did come back with all these kidney transplants and heart transplants, you're going to come back with my kidney or my heart, you see, my liver. So we have to come to reality, beloved. Everything is real. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us the reality of God as it was given to him.
1116, we're going to have to take these calls. Sure. Dolores, you're on WVON.
Good morning. Who's this, Brother Day?
No, this is Tony Gill.
Oh, Tony, how are you?
Just fine, thank you.
As-salamu alaykum to the brother.
Wa alaykum salam.
It's nice hearing you this morning. I hope you don't get too upset over some of these callers, because you and I know their brains is full of the swine.
Yes.
And people argue for lack of knowledge. But I'd like to say this. I met with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad when I was in my 30s. I'm a great-grandmother now.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Malcolm was my brother, and I loved him, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was my teacher.
Mm-hmm.
When I went into the temple, I was not interested in his sex life.
Mm-hmm.
I was not interested in his penis.
Mm-hmm.
I was interested in what the man was teaching me, that I could raise my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I brought my daughter through the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I brought my grandchildren through the mouth. And now my great-grandchildren are coming through the mouth. And they've gone to college.
Mm-hmm.
They work in society. I've never had any problems with them going to jail, on dope,
mm-hmm.
or getting into fights, or having problems with people in the street. They work out in society. Now, if these sisters, Christian sisters and brothers who call in, would look at the jails and see thousands of our black youth with the preacher leading them. The jail are full of these young people, and it's saddening. And stop worrying about Mr. Muhammad's sex life and worry about what did he teach his people that would enable them to raise their children with and seeing their, what you might call, examples for any children to follow. That is what they should be mostly concerned about. So don't worry about these people with this swine brain, people. I have a business place, and I'm in my 76 years old now, and I'm happy over what I learned from Mr. Muhammad in the early years when I was 30 and out there in the street, and he turned me around with his teachings, and his teachings saved my children. They will save the children in the street if black people would stop and think, let the man's penis alone and worry about what came out of his brain. That's where you should look.
1118, Dolores, thanks for the call.
I was
afraid of what else you had to say.
I just want to say this, you know, and I understand what you're saying, Dolores, and I'm really sorry for an emotional point. I love the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I make no bones about it, and I know that he taught us well. But, you know, sometimes when people make these attacks, because we've been having a different response from people. People have been coming by, viewing things for themselves, and they've been saying, well, you know, I didn't know that. I'm glad I came by. And if I tell them, tell someone else about it, you know, so they can get the truth of it. But when people who just go on and don't know anything about it, I heard one of your callers earlier in the week say he was about 5 when one of the followers of Honorable Elijah Muhammad left. But he was inspired by him, you know. I sympathize with these people because they don't have the history. And see, just because you go to the mosque one time, someone may have rubbed you the wrong way. This was a program, Tony. We went to the mosque Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. We dealt with families, you know. We could go the same place our children could go. It was not that we going to party, you see. So I'm saying it was a family-oriented structure. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad reformed people because he gave them a work program.
Mm-hmm.
It was a productive kind of thing. We had fun building schools. So what I'm saying is the same formula is here. The message was not in just the properties and things that we accumulated. It was the validity of his message that insulated and protected us from the decadency now that's overriding our people.
When Al, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Al, you're on WVON.
Good afternoon to you, Tony, and assalamu alaikum, my dear brother.
Wa alaikum salam, beloved. How are you?
I would like to clear up one thing. The only thing that blacks have read about Malcolm X and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is in the racist white newspaper. And let me make a statement. The same enemy killed King. The same enemy murdered Malcolm. The same enemy just invaded Panama and murdered thousands of your brothers and sisters. The same enemy have plans for our destruction, brothers and sisters. The only thing that will save us is divine intervention from Allah God himself. You know, Gil, if Minister Farrakhan wasn't a spiritual and divine person, the white racist news media tried to cause a rift between Reverend Jackson and the minister so they could move in and kill one and blame the other. My dear brothers and sisters, it continues, divide and conquer. And I think the Honorable Elijah did more for black people than any other person on the face of this earth. And peace be with him wherever he is.
Al, thanks for the call. Let's talk about that, because I think a lot of people probably are wondering, what did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I'll put this in quotes so you don't think that I'm giving you a left-handed salute here, what did he do but help himself? Because you and I both heard only a week or so ago, mm-hmm. When I promised you, you wanted a chance to respond, and I had to turn you down. When will you get an opportunity to let people know what he did for people? Because he's been accused by, if not one, maybe a number of people, of only doing for Elijah Muhammad.
You know, Tony, let me say this. See, we had farmland in Alabama, Michigan, I think Georgia, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had schools throughout America. I mean, he was the head of this. Not that he needed to own that for himself. You see, I'm saying people gave the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's just like when a friend does something for you, we go all out our way to compensate them. They call it reciprocity. What the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has done for me, it was nothing that I wouldn't do for him, you see? So what I'm saying, that he lived a life, the man suffered for 7 long years running up and down the East Coast trying to get this message to you and I. Went to prison, suffered and took up bronchitis. All the struggle of his life was away from his family for 12 long years, and I think that contributed to some of the ignorance that some of the children have shown toward their father. That's why people like us have to stand up to reacquaint them with this great man. This man loved us, and he showed us by example. He had a trade, was bringing in fish from Peru. He didn't eat it all. He brought it in, lowered the price, and sold it to our people. He bought a newspaper to create jobs for us. You know, there was a program. We had meat packers, trucking industry, egg farms, you know. This was a man that showed you by example. It's silly for one to suggest that he owned everything. If you come and give something away, brother, after it's been given, they call our businesses mom and pop store. Well, why is it that when we close something down, the Arabs, prior to them, the Jews, used to come in the community and set up shop and take our money back to their suburbs or wherever they live?
And then we respect and admire them for it.
Yeah, you respect them. But now I hear everybody talk about Elijah Muhammad. They take bits and pieces of his program. They say, well, we're not religious, but, you know, we like the economic. We're going to do for self. But I'm saying it is a divine program that has to be. Who could get us out of this trouble but a God himself? And the God is so upset because we didn't even know him. And that's why I say he would come as a thief in the night. Now, you know what a thief is, Tony.
A stranger.
Yeah, that's right. If we go home and some of the items are missing, we know somebody's been there.
Well, so, in the old days, I suppose it used to be a stranger.
Yeah. Let me
ask you about this, because I know that you're going to be able to get more of your answer out of this question. And I want to ask about the concepts that he had. Were espoused by others before him, and these people were praised for it, and of course now we know very little about Elijah Muhammad as a result. For example, he said about begging for handouts from the government, as opposed to, and again, Elijah Muhammad's words, go for self. Elijah said, and I quote here, "The slave must now realize that he must work hard to be the equal of other nations. He must also remember that justice and righteousness is his defense, and wickedness his enemy, and the downfall of his government and his people." He goes on further to say, and again I quote, "But if the slave is lazy, he will always be the slave for another. No nation respects a beggar." There were others, to be sure, that said this, W.E.B. Du Bois and Souls of Black Folk, something along the same lines, Marcus Garvey. So, does things sound to any of us that things have changed since these words were published, and I mean message to the black man and the comments about slavery or slaves 25-something years ago?
Well, you know, Elijah Muhammad gave credit to those brothers. He said what they didn't have was divine knowledge, and that was why they couldn't hold fast. Like Marcus Garvey, great man. You know, and he wanted to unite black people. He loved black people. But I'm saying that in his own movement, they was able to split up the movement and deport him. And the poor man died in exile, right? And I'm saying, but the movement just fell down. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said he had a divine solution to our problem and said God himself with us. Tony, on our newsletter, we used the term volume 10 to remind us that we were zero prior to the coming of Master Farrakhan Muhammad.
February 26, 1877, he was born. A savior, real savior, was born and gave Elijah Muhammad this teaching, okay? And he withdrew. But we keep that volume 10 as the reminder so we don't get that egotism. And I begin to ask you, do you want my autograph? Or some of the other brothers begin to tell you that they invented a teaching. We know who is shooting this gun. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad doesn't even have to be here. As it says in Galatians, we travail a second time till Christ be formed in us. See, we don't need anybody to stand over us anymore.
Sure.
Elijah Muhammad gave a solution, sure, and we try and adhere to it.
1127, let's take another call. Deborah, you're on WVON.
Good morning, Tony, and assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Muhammad.
Wa alaikum salam.
Happy Savior's Day.
Happy Savior's Day to you.
Thank you. I want to make a comment and ask a couple of questions, and then I'll hang up and listen,
sure,
to it. First of all, I used to be a member of Nation of Islam under Minister Farrakhan, and
I should do what?
I used to be a member.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and I found that, you know, each time I went, basically what I was hearing was, you know, the white man's this, the devil that. My whole purpose, being a member of the Nation of Islam, was, you know, how do I get in touch with God? How do I get closer in touch with God? And I think that's one of the things we need to really focus on, you know, as far as Islamic members are concerned. You know, how can we take, you know, this idea into the 90s, you know, getting in touch with God? You know, we all come there looking for answers. And if you can, you know, elaborate on that a little bit. In addition to that, I understand we have two Savior's Days, one in February, one in October. If you can explain that to me. That's like, I guess, having two Christmases, you know, for Christians. And the other thing is, Nation of Islam. I read in the paper where, you know, John Muhammad and you guys are celebrating today as part of the Nation of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my understanding that you are not part of the Nation of Islam. I saw Brother Fahim on BET,
mm-hmm,
you know, which was an excellent program a couple of days ago,
mm-hmm,
and they billed him as being part of the Nation of Islam, and I really don't think he's part of it. So if you could just spend a few seconds.
You really don't think who's part of it? Fahim?
Fahim, I thought you all guys were not part of the Nation of Islam. Okay. Explain that to me is basically what I'm saying.
Okay.
Because I guess I don't understand. And again, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you for the call,
okay,
Deborah.
Yeah, thank you, sister. Well, the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we were a nation within a nation, and Islam was our nature, black people in general. He said all of us were members of the Nation of Islam, and many people take on that title because they don't feel that they come under one umbrella. And we here at Crow, we do not, the only way we bring up the Caucasian, you know, is that you want to talk about him. See, we're busy. We feel that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, don't blame him. He didn't make himself, you made him. So we just go on as if he's not there, if you're doing the work. Now, I know that people talk in terms of conspiracies. We know that it was written that people would do the things that they're doing. There would be a certain people that do that. Now, we have information that we think. We're very happy is the writings and teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which he said his teachings were life-giving. And we feel over here at Crow with film, video, tape, and writings on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Quran and many of his books, that if you seek in God, that we think you can find him. You know, because ye all are gods if you but know. But you do have one supreme one in belief. It can't be transferred, my dear sister. You have to come and check it out. And I suggest to you, respectfully, we're showing a film today at 3 o'clock, a historical documentary it's called, and it'll give you some insight about the $64,000 question, whether we came in 1555 or 1619, and you begin to see the spiritual contents of you and I demise, so you don't keep blaming yourself and feeling bad because you were relegated to that subhuman condition. It was all written of you.
11:30, we are on the live line with Munir Muhammad of Crow. And before we try to close it out, let's take just a couple more calls. Mr. Muhammad, we'll talk to Joanne. Joanne, you're on WVON.
Yes, I would like for Mr. Muhammad to explain why there were more than one wife in the East, because I think we have a misinterpretation of it here. We know that the average black man cannot take care of one wife now because the majority of them are unemployed and they have the women's working nowadays. And I think that the sisters have a misunderstanding about the Muslim brothers having more than one wife.
Well,
and would he please explain why it was like that, that it wasn't like that, whereas the brother was having babies by all of these wives, explaining them how it was handled.
Okay, let him answer. Go ahead.
I think that's very, very beautiful that the sister brought that up. See, in the East, the Quraysh and the Muslims, they had been fighting, and it was war, and many of the men were killed off.
And in Islam, you didn't want children coming up without a father and a mother, you see. So as not from some biological misfit that you were just so weak-boned, weak-blooded that you had to have sex on that basis, it was basically for the upbringing of the children. It was the exception, not the rule, brother. Mm. You see, so when they said one wife is better for you if you but know. See, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, people talk in terms as if he should go down to Mayor Daley and ask for a marriage license. You see? And I'm saying he operated on that basis. See, and people don't want to accept it. I'm saying to you, my dear brother, when you become a counselor to people, there are many people that we talk to, and there are some intelligent sisters who would love to have a man. And unfortunately, there are many of us are not living up to our responsibilities. But well, a Muslim wants for his brother.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We are just running out of time. But in the interest of shortening it all up, I wonder just how much in conventional wisdom these days do the Christian marriages merit in terms of weighing and assessing marriages as far as marriages go. Take a look at the tremendous and exorbitant rates of divorce in this country.
Of course.
11:33, and you're on WVON.
Good morning, Tony.
Hi.
And good morning to you again.
Good morning.
Now, I've been sitting here and I've been listening. And this is how I feel. Okay, now I know there were great kings like Solomon, and there were some more, and great prophets, and I know they had many wives, okay? But I also know that was under the law, okay? Now, we are living under grace. It just seemed like to me some people's ministers are, when you try to teach us religious, I think you should let people know. I mean, that's not to say it did not happen. It happened. It was in the Bible. I mean, the word, and I do believe in some of the things I read, you know. Mm-hmm. But see, you got to watch how people interpret this stuff.
I understand.
Now, my point is here. Well, as I'm concerned, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was living under grace. He was not entitled to more than one wife. Mm-hmm. He was not entitled or had the right to me to go out of his home and conceive another child. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's because we're living under grace. Another thing.
Living under who?
We're not living under the law. I mean, because it seems like you're trying to justify.
No, I'm just telling you what Scripture says. No, I'm not trying to justify anything. You know.
So you seem like you're trying to use the Scripture because.
Well, I'm not trying to use Scripture. I am using it. That's the criteria in which you judge a one in which they believe, that which come under the umbrella of which they operate. See, just because Christians say that should not steal or that should not kill, and they go kill the biggest killers on the earth. The brother just told you about what they did in Panama and all over the world. They've killed most of the people and trying to kill you and I now.
That's
so I'm
true.
Saying the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said he's the messenger of Allah. He didn't say he was Jerry Falwell. I'm saying the messenger of Allah, and what went with that, sister, is the umbrella in which we operate. I suggest that you read the fourth surah of the Holy Quran, the 33rd surah, which is titled The Allies, and the 66, which is the prohibited. Muhammad agonized over his domestic life. That God said, whatever I had forbid, have given to you, you take of what I offer that's lawful to you. See, we operate on a real God, not a mystery God.
Okay.
See, we believe that God appeared in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. That was the judge of Elijah Muhammad. That which we differ about the Scripture, my dear sister, God himself would judge.
But
and I understand.
And like the key word you said he believed.
Sure.
Believe. And I can believe anything. And not to say the individual who came, Master Farah Muhammad, when he came to him. You know, he brought him something. I mean, and what he brought him.
And it's been unmatched, too.
Right. You know, I mean, but the only thing I'm just saying is, me as an individual,
fine.
And maybe some people out there think like me, too. Now, knowing, I mean, because what you said was, you went back to Jacob, you know, who had the wives and stuff.
I didn't say anything about Jacob, but I will talk about him if you ask me.
Okay, but I mean, like you said, it was prophets that had more than one wife.
Yeah.
But I think that was for a reason.
Okay.
Probably to propagate a race.
Okay. Huh?
Probably just to start a big family.
It was, but I mean, you know, like Noah. I mean, they had to start to populate the world, and we're not living like that now. And
so
I think,
you think the world had just began with Noah?
No, it did not.
Oh, okay.
It did not. But like the swine. You talk about pork.
Mm-hmm. And Leviticus talk about it, too.
Okay, huh?
In Leviticus, you can...
Right, and that is under the law.
Yeah.
That is in the Old Testament.
And let me do this. I'm going to put you back on hold because, you know, we're getting into a religious discussion.
Sure, we are.
And it's a theological question.
I invited Ann over here. She can discuss that. They know where Crow is.
I'm leaving her on so that we can continue a discussion with her. We have to let you go so we can get the other guest on.
Okay, well,
and,
Tony,
yeah.
I want to thank you, and I say this to your audience. If we got emotional, I'm sorry. It's not intended to be that way. We happen to be people who love our people, and we're tired of acting in council with you in private. See, there are many people who come and take bits and pieces of this teaching and take it back and don't tell you where they got it from. And they try and modify it. They call it amending in and amending out. So they know what thievery is. And Isaiah said, before me, they were all thieves and robbers. So we guarantee you that if you come out and take a look at this film today, the historical documentary, I bet some of those same so-called leaders that you think you have, you'll come to find out where they've been getting the information from.
Interesting enough. Why don't you tell them one more time where and when?
9145 South Ashland. The phone numbers are 233-8883. That's at 3 p.m. And we will be showing a film that will answer that $64,000 question whether we arrived here in 1555 or 1619. And I thank you for listening.